Hi, everyone. This is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. You can find all of our episodes over at exploringeos.com. Today, we're talking with Chaney Moore once again, and he's probably our favorite guest here on the Exploring EOS podcast. He's with CPU Emergency, and they're really helping out the EOS community. Glad to have you back. Chaney, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Thanks for having me back. Is this, what is this, our fourth time?
I think it's about four times now.
All right. Yeah, we just need to go ahead and just make this a regular reoccurring role, a bi-month.
We keep talking about that, but...
it's hard to get schedules worked around, isn't it?
It's mostly my fault, so I apologize about that.
No, not at all.
Real quick, for people who are new to you, new to the podcast, can you tell us a little bit about CPU Emergency?
Sure. It was set up primarily to help the community, one of the strange things about EOS, or different things about EOS, is that EOS is a utility token, and as part of that, you have the ability to stake EOS for the ability to perform transactions. So you stake EOS to CPU, and right now, one of the issues with the transactions are that if you don't have enough EOS stake for CPU, even if you have a bunch of liquid EOS in your wallet, you can't stake more without having enough to perform that transaction. And that is an issue right now, because many of the account creation tools don't force you to put a minimum amount in CPU. Even the Lynx wallet only starts you out with 0.1 EOS of CPU. Right now, we're in a CPU crunch, and unfortunately, we have been for most of the week. And what that does is it gives you approximately 0.1 EOS would only give you approximately 0.02 of a millisecond. And that's not enough to perform any transactions right now. Actually, one EOS gives you 0.02 of a millisecond. And so basic transactions such as staking function to stake to CPU requires at least right now, I think it requires something like 7 EOS. So we're there to try to help people out when they don't understand how CPU works. They can come to our Telegram. But we also are an off-chain solution for those people that need a little bit extra EOS to be able to operate on the chain and stake their own EOS. So we have the website that allows people to go out there, enter their account name, and then they get CPU delegated directly to their account.
So that's CPUEmergency.com. So
that's it. Hasn't changed.
I've hit you up there a couple times.
Sure.
And many people have. So if you are stuck on, unable to stake or unable to do a few transactions that you need to do, hopefully Chaney can hook you up, help you out.
Yeah, we still give out 1.5 EOS if it'll help you out. Unfortunately, in these times, 1.5 EOS with the crunch we're under won't help out a lot. But we're also seeing a lot of confusion because some of the block explorers don't update regularly, it seems, on the amount of transactions. We get people that come to us and say, listen, I have done a transaction in 5 days or a week. Why am I still 3,000%? Well, for some reason, the block explorers don't always update. So if you have 100 EOS staked or you have 50 EOS staked and you haven't been able to perform a transaction in a long time, days, more than one day, try pushing it through. That'll often help. There's some sort of issue or bug where the block explorers do not update the CPU, your CPU percentages correctly.
Okay. So just try again. Don't rely on what the block.
Right. Try to push it through. Scatter will come up and say, do you want to delegate more resources? Just say no. Try to send that transaction through and see what happens.
Okay. Cool.
So don't trust the explorers implicitly that you can't work. Try to use the network.
Cool. Thanks for that tip. One thing that I don't think we talked about before with you on is I call it your over the counter service. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I guess I'll just let you talk about it. I won't try to explain it.
Sure. No, we've pivoted. You know, we started out as a community project, just really to help out the individual users. As part of that, we subsequently partnered with or affiliated ourselves with different dApps to where they load our service directly on their website, and we give out much more CPU for users if they use our ref code, or if they, you know, if they need CPU, they can get hundreds of EOS of CPU to use BetDice and other dApps, etc. And as part of that, we've had dApps that have reached out to us when they need CPU. And we don't have enough CPU to provide it for both the users and the dApps. For example, BetDice has I think, over 10 million EOS staked for CPU across their various contracts right now. And many dApps have to have 1 million plus if they're popular and have a lot of users. So we don't have that much enough EOS to provide the DAP CPU and the user CPU. So, but we do know the DAPs, and we do know a lot of whales that have that amount of EOS. And so we've acted as an over-the-counter, if you will, escrow agent or trader to help put these two different parties together. So right now, Shintai is kind of thin on their trade volume. They're doing a great job. They're offering the ability for lenders to get money for leasing their CPU. But a lot of these whales, if you will, don't want to give up some of the rights that are associated with that, being able to pick who they vote for, or sending a large sum of EOS to a smart contract when they can't, they don't have the wherewithal or the dev background to be able to audit that contract. And you also, at least in some cases, miss out on some of the airdrops. But all in all, Shintai is great for certainly the small lenders and small borrowers, but there's not the volume there or necessarily the trust in some of those cases there for large volumes of lenders to go through.
So you found basically an opportunity in the market where some of these applications really need, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of EOS CPU staked for them. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to pay to rent that, basically. And you kind of find with a bunch of EOS that they're not staking for something.
And that's correct. You know, they already have it really staked for probably mostly for safety purposes. You know, it's kind of been touted as a safety feature on EOS. Hey, it takes 3 days to unstake. But you got it in a nutshell. We just act, because there's no smart contract involved, we act as an intermediary, holding the payment in escrow until the services are fulfilled by the lender.
Okay.
And that way, we're just essentially a trusted third party.
So I think I asked you about this a while ago, and you're definitely out of my league. But if people are listening and they have a whole bunch of EOS, what's your minimum amount that you're willing to do that service with? Because I know it's pretty high.
Yeah, well, we aggregate now. We do look for people, but we're looking for users that right now have probably 50,000 or more EOS that they're willing to lend out to. To third parties. The demand we're getting right now is relatively high. Typically, we're dealing with dApps that are leasing anywhere from 100,000 to a million EOS at a time for 7 to 28 day contracts. Now, you know, it's great. I don't know when this one will actually make it out, this podcast, but if it's 2 or 3 weeks and if it's after the first of the year, we may see Rex out by then. And that I think will certainly change the game.
Oh yeah, definitely. And Rex, for anybody new, is the resource exchange, which is basically a built-in rental system that hopefully we'll see will make it so that people can directly kind of just automatically rent for
right.
lend and rent the CPU, and so.
Yeah. So some of the cool things about Rex, it's basically just like staking, and it's staked just like you would stake for bandwidth or stake for net. You can stake to Rex. And so if you have CPU already staked, or if you have EOS staked for CPU or net right now, you can, without waiting 3 days to unstake, automatically stake that over to the Rex. And so it's, let's talk about that briefly. It's kind of based on the Bancor algorithm. So what happens is, let's give an example. If I send 100 EOS to Rex And I don't know exactly right now what the ratio is. Let's assume it's 1-to-1 and I get 100 recs back. And then let's say my buddy comes in or somebody comes in and they lease that and they make a payment of 10 EOS to lease that into recs. So right now there's 110 EOS in recs. Okay. So now John Paul wants to come in and he wants to add his EOS to the REX. Well, he's going to basically stake it to it to buy REX tokens. But now John Paul has to, if he wants to get the same 100 REX that I have, he's got to put 110 EOS in to get that same 100 REX, because I essentially now have put in my 100 EOS plus the 10 payment I've received. And you can't dilute the REX or else I would get less payment. Do you understand? So the value of the REX will always go up, essentially. But at any given point in time, we're all getting the same annualized return going forward. But basically, I would get the benefit of compounding interest because I am earning. If I leave my REX, if I leave my EOS in there, my REX is going to be worth more because the EOS that I earned on that initial EOS will then be lent out as well. And I will be continuing to earn and earn interest on that. So as more people buy in, I should say this, as more income comes in, the value of the REX token should over time go up. Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's a novel way to do it. I'm hoping that everybody that is not using the network decides that they want that passive income and all stake their EOS to REX, because it'll help give very low cost resources to the people that would actually use them, dApps and dApp users, versus just sitting in a wallet stake for CPU, kind of not being used. So it'll lower the cost of leasing. It should make the network more usable for everybody, but it will lower the effective value, CPU value, of every EOS, because we'll have more EOS being used for CPU. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for that explanation. The REX, you know, it was hard for me to wrap my mind around exactly how that works, because I think of renting, you know, you put your capital in, you rent it out, and then you get payments, right?
Yes. So
this is different. It's actually payments goes into the pool, and then the value of your REX grows. So you're not going to be, and that's, I'm assuming they did it that way so they're not adding transactions to the network.
Right. So think of it, the easiest explanation I can think of for people that are familiar with it is like a DRIP, like a dividend reinvestment plan, where you never take your dividends, or in this case, you're leasing your lease out. And you're earning, in effect, you know, you're earning your interest. It's a compounding interest. So it works out pretty well. I hope that people see value in it and potentially leave it in there for long term, because it's going to be good for EOS. It's going to kill the OTC business and potentially at least Shentai's 28-day leasing business, because I think the market is just going to drop, the bottom's going to drop out probably at least initially, as everybody moves and floods the market with supply and the demand's not there yet. I could be proven wrong. We'll see. But there will still be probably some demand on the 7, 14, and 21 day, unless the liquidity is so high that it's still cheaper to lease for 28 days than it is for the shorter term leases. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, that they will only have, REX will only have a 28-day option.
I see. Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully there's still some opportunity for CPU emergency to help people out, but you know.
Hey, I will gladly give up the OTC leasing business in exchange for a usable and profitable EOS chain. So I'm here to help the community. But if the community is not thriving and people aren't using the network, then it's not good for anybody, me included.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. So, let's see. We've seen some updates from Dan on some CPU things, changes that he is saying are going to be made. I know one thing he was talking about is making it so that it's easier for dApps to provide CPU to the users.
Right.
Which is something that I thought, like early on, I thought that would just, I kind of assumed that that would just be how it worked. But I guess that's a feature that they left out of the original, and now it's coming. So can you give us a little update on those proposed changes from Dan?
Probably be coming out sometime, I'm guessing, end of January, maybe February. It's going to take a little while to get through based on some conversations I've had with some VPs. I think it's called CPU Payer. It allows usually CPU is paid for, the transaction is paid for by the propagator of that transaction. If JP is trying to send me tokens, then JP is going to pay the CPU for that transaction. But what it does is it allows me as a receiver or the dApp of that, I have the ability to pay for that transaction, and the user can be totally out of CPU and I can still get that through. So it'll be great for mass adoption. It'll be great for users of dApps that can afford to pay the CPU costs for their users. Now, that won't be everybody, unfortunately. That'll be probably some of the bigger dApps out of the box, and then it'll take time, depending on how much it costs for CPU. So really, it works pretty well in conjunction with a couple of things. It works well in conjunction. You got to have RECs, right? It makes sense if you have cheap costs of acquiring CPU. We also need some CPU improvements. We need some side chains starting to gear up or some ability to increase our CPU capacity in some manner so it's more profitable, more plentiful to do so. So we need that change as well. Mm-hmm. Some people are seeing it as an attack vector. If you don't have some sort of mechanism in place to say what transactions you're going to pay for or how you're going to determine what level of transaction. Let's take, for example, BetDice. Let's say BetDice says, yeah, sure, anybody that wants to send us, make transactions on our site will pay for the CPU. Well, what if one of their competitors comes out there, creates 500 spam accounts, and sends in the cheapest token that's out there at 0.1 of those tokens per bet? Mm-hmm. At that point, then you're eating up your competitor's CPU at a high clip for no cost out of your own pocket, or very, very minimal costs out of your own pocket. So the dApps are going to have to set some sort of back end checks on those, maybe a min transaction value, or maybe it's a service that they offer only to certain clientele. Maybe they have a white list of people that they'll pay the transactions for. Maybe it's, hey, you own 1,000 of our tokens if you want to perform this transaction or get CPU paid for. And there's all sorts of different ways that they could work around that and have back end checks in place to determine who and when they want to pay CPU. But it's definitely a great step forward. I think we're a couple of months out from it, though.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's interesting just looking at this whole CPU thing. Because it really shows the potential of blockchain to me and like the demand for these kind of things. Because you look at Bitcoin, 7 transactions a second is their maximum. Ethereum, which I forget exactly what that is, like 20 something.
20, yeah.
And then you would think that with a new blockchain coming out that has over 3,000 transactions a second, which is EOS, right? That we would stay under that and not have any problems. But very quickly, we've hit the ceiling. We're having to do all these changes and make accommodations to make sure we can keep growing.
So you're absolutely right. One of the problems, and Dan mentioned it here recently, well, a couple of things. One, we're operating somewhere between 100 to 200 transactions per second right now. And that's partially misleading because we are bundling actions, multiple actions, into a single transaction. For example, and Dan pointed this one out here recently, BetDice, they take a bet and then they have other actions that partition on blockchain transactions that partition out, okay, we made this bet, we're sending the user this many bet dice tokens. We're taking this much of our house edge. This house edge is going to the dividends. This house edge is going to the lottery. This house edge is going to our cost. This house edge is going to the referral fees. And each one of those different actions is on blockchain. So their transaction, their single transaction, may have a dozen or actually more different actions within that transaction. So it's misleading to look at TPS. And that's why actually if you go out to Wattivity right now, they've updated that to show the number of actions, not transactions per second. And Dan recently pointed his finger at dApps, including and specifically BetDice in this scenario, and unfairly, I believe. I mean, but pointed his finger at them and said, listen, guys, if you want the network to do well and have enough CPU, you need to clean up your own house, essentially, and make sure that your transactions, only the transactions that are necessary to be on chain, make them as clean as they possibly can for CPU purposes, and then bring in some of these other items off chain and do them in a manner that's not eating up EOS CPU in that regards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I read that, I was kind of like, well, you're kind of throwing them under the bus a little bit.
But yeah.
I mean, it's true. They can definitely improve how much CPU is being used, but
it's kind of hard to say DAP. You need to be more careful with your CPU and they should be very cognizant. They have a lot of CPU right now, at least not from us, but that they are paying for to make sure that they have the ability to do their transactions. So they are economically incentivized to try to do what's best for them. Now, time value of money and the time spent developing those CPU efficient, and potentially they may see it as a safety issue, not as safe transactions, that could be make it not worth quite so much, not worth it in the long run for them to deal with that right now.
Yeah, makes sense.
So some have come out. I think EOS Bet came out and said they're looking at some state channel opportunities. Other ones have come out. Fastwin, I believe, is looking at what they call a CPU bank. And it's not quite clear what they intend to do, but it sounds like, and actually this is something Dan recommended in Telegram when I actually asked him a few questions about this. It's kind of like a smart contract, like a potentially a decentralized exchange, but maybe a little bit more centralized, that where you send your tokens to a smart contract, and then those smart contract uses the other person's CPU, the DAP CPU, or is a CPU agnostic. Maybe it's not on blockchain, but the smart contract, you've read the smart contract, you know how it operates, you can still interact with the smart contract. And so the CPU usage is much, much smaller versus every single, and then you, at that point, when you're done with it, you take your tokens out of the smart contract. So it's a little bit different way of doing it, a little bit more CPU efficient way of doing it. And I think Fastwin is talking about doing something along those lines. And it's kind of cool, I like Fastwin. They're looking at doing a mechanism where they are allowing outside EOS, people without EOS accounts, to actually use their platform via this CPU bank. And people can just go in there, I think, put other fiat or cryptocurrencies in there at some point and just use their platform without even going fully through the EOS process. Different dApps are figuring out different ways of skinning this cat, this CPU cat.
Yeah, so ultimately that would kind of hide the whole blockchain thing.
Yes, and that was my comment to Dan, and Dan said, no, it's still a smart contract, still on. Oh, you're talking about the Fastwin? Yeah, that's right. It would. It would hide the fact that you're even using a blockchain, because you don't ever have to go through the process of creating an account. Your account is efficiently, effectively in this fast bank and a wallet that they have, a private wallet that they have, and you aren't having your own JP address for all this to go through. You have a third party account that you're kind of trusting them like a centralized exchange at that point.
So you brought up FastWin. Mm-hmm. This gets back to one of our favorite topics, which is passive income on EOS. What are some new passive income opportunities that you've found lately?
FastWin
is one.
Sure. Right now, the big ones, of course, are the gambling dApps. And you're seeing most of these dApps that are paying out either hourly dividends or daily dividends based on the number of tokens that are staked for their dApp and on how much they're making on a daily basis. So you're right. We've seen some pretty amazing returns right now between BetDice. You've got My EOS Vegas, you've got EOS Poker, FastWin. All these dApps out there are paying, honestly, some pretty ridiculous as a APR, annual percentage rate, returns for staking these tokens. So you're seeing pretty big fluctuations in the valuation if you go out to new decks. Or Dexios or Chaints or some of these other exchanges, you can see some pretty big fluctuations in some of these tokens' prices based on the expected payout of that week for that DApp. So it's a pretty fun area to kind of play around in and get your feet wet and stake some tokens and see what you like. There's some cool things going on right now with that. BetDice recently offered or added BitPie. They added through BitPie. They added the EOS BTC, Ethereum, EOS Ethereum, and EOS USD tokens. And so now people can deposit their BTC, ETH, or USD through BitPie and then go gamble those. Or trade those, or do whatever they want to with those tokens on the EOS blockchain. So it locks up those BTC, those different tokens from those different chains. And now you've effectively ported over your BTC value or ETH value to the EOS blockchain. And so now, through the dividends on BetDice that I'm getting, I actually own ETH again and own some BTC again, which I had gotten rid of. Towards a few months ago. So I'm a bag holder again. I have a vested interest again, once again, in both of those as well. Well, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was really excited to see that. I don't know that much about BitPie. I think they were mostly kind of a wallet on Bitcoin, Ethereum, and stuff. And they came out with this, and it seemed like it was kind of a partnership with BetDice, but that it's also just a token on EOS. So I think several other dApps are going to use it.
That's right.
And I was excited, especially because if you go over to exploringeos.com, you'll find a post called "How to Make Bitcoin Actually Usable."
There it is. It is now, right?
There it is. And this is pretty much exactly what I was suggesting in that post, that if we could port Bitcoin over to EOS, you could just have kind of what's basically a stable coin, right? An EOS coin backed by Bitcoin.
Yeah, right? I say stable as Bitcoin.
Right, right.
So that's not saying much these days.
That's not the best term. But right. Backed by Bitcoin, I should say.
There you go, Bitcoin backed coin.
And so that's exactly what they did. I'm really glad somebody did it. I have no idea how to make that happen. I just had the idea. So. That's pretty cool. And
yeah,
I could definitely see that potentially bringing a lot of Bitcoin people over, especially if there are some wallets or other things like that that could make it easy to do, you know, some of these multi-currency crypto wallets you know, maybe you're holding Bitcoin and you're like, well, I'm going to convert some of this over to eBTC running on EOS, and I can, you know, go play some of these games and things with the much faster transaction speed and everything. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure what the long-term effect is on EOS. You know, all of a sudden you're locking up BTC and locking up ETH, and you're making these new stable coins, or like you said, coin. I'm not sure, but I like the fact that you can use the EOS blockchain to play around and actually, like you said, actually use some of these other tokens in a much quicker manner than you normally could, waiting for verification of transactions on either of those other chains. So that's kind of cool. There are some, you know, like I said, you can go out and play on some of these dApps, figure out which one you like. There's a new website that came out last week. I think it's something, eosdividends.com. I can't recall. You might look at it and put something in before you post this and put it in the channel. But it was looking at the different weekly returns for the different dApps out there. And it's crazy how much it varies from week to week, depending on who's getting the volume that week and who's profitable from a mining perspective.
Depends on how many of the native token is staked.
Exactly.
And whatnot. For example, one that I'm looking at is called eosluckyme.com.
Yeah.
And they have the roll token. And it definitely fluctuates quite a bit. Like on the website, you can have a little button that says payout, and you look on there and you can see the percentage of the total roll tokens that are staked. So like last week, I don't know, 90-something% were staked, and now it's 81%. And so it's just a little bit different week to week into that.
Right.
Widely.
I got pretty quick on the MEV token, Myos Vegas, which is now Royal Vegas, I believe. And I think, you know, 3 weeks ago, they pay out weekly. I had 10,000 and I got 70 EOS or something ridiculous like that. Okay. And now, at that point, there were very few staked. And now the amount staked has gone up 6 or 7x. And I'm not expecting to get more than 10 or 11 EOS this week. So it does fluctuate greatly. But it's pretty cool. Some of the things I like going on, I mentioned Fastwin. They've kind of gamified gambling. They have it's kind of like an idle, or not even an idle, it's kind of like a role-playing dice game, if you will, where you roll the dice and put a bet out there, and if you hit, you're trying to kill some of the monsters with everybody else, and then if you know you land the killing blow or do enough damage, you might get an extra fast airdrop or fast tokens from that kill. And so that's kind of fun. You know, I like gaming. I still play EOS Knights, the idle game there, and have a little fun doing that. So, you know, there are different ways of doing things. Each dApp has its own nuances. And you know, we talked passive income. I like getting home at night. I'll log into each different dApp, and I, you know, go in there and claim my dividends for that day and see how much the token's worth, see how much my dividends are, and see if I want to buy more of that token or sell more of that token.
That's always really a feeling, right?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Claim.
even when EOS is $1.80, it's still fun to see my dividends come in. Not as much fun if it was $20, but it's still fun to see it come in. It's a good time to accumulate. I think people are more willing to probably spend their $1.80 EOS and roll a few times than they would be if EOS was $20. I may be wrong. Maybe we'll find out next year. But I think it's a great time to accumulate via those dividends and see what changes in the future.
Yeah, and some of these there are a lot of these gambling dApps that are basically clones, right?
Yes, there are.
A lot of them are very similar, and so if you're going to do this, you know, I suggest you really research them and look into them. And
look this is not advice, right? This is not not investing advice. Make sure you play that before.
Right, because when they first come out, that dividend is very high. But then you pile in and the dividend tanks, potentially, if the volume doesn't increase, right? So
they may never, you may never see that volume at all. It may wither away.
So,
and the cool thing about being part of CP Emergency is a lot of these dApps come to us before they even get up and running because they want us integrated with their websites. So kind of neat that I get to see some of these up front and help out, like Fish Store. There's a new little idle game called Fish Store. You can go CP Emergency, see the link there. And it's effectively DICE, but it's kind of an idle where you have to shoot the fish, harpoon the fish that you want to try to pull in, and it's basically set the dice range. It's like rolling 1 to 100, and you're saying your dice at 96, 80, 50, whatever fish you want to try to shoot. Now there's different versions of these that are coming out. You guys decide, you know, what's going to be popular, what's going to win. It's fun to kind of see those. But you know, you don't have to go out and just do gambling. You know, you can still go out and buy horse pay and stake it for e-cash. Higher Vibes is out now. I believe they're going to have some staking mechanism coming up in the future. Everybody should have their Higher Vibes tokens now. There's different non-gambling ways that you can earn some passive income. You can go out and you can do your mind blank, JP, help me out. The one where you can actually use your computer to
mine.
Boyd. You can go out and do Boyd. And there's other ways you can do passive income as well on EOS. And Rex now. You just want to do Rex. Forget about it. Put it in there and leave it there for a while. You can earn EOS that way.
Yeah.
So lots of good things going on.
So if people want to see some of these options, first of all, I'd say go over to CPU Emergency. And
if they want to look at the gambling options,
this is mostly the gambling ones. But if you scroll down, you'll see all these listed that we've been talking about. The fishing one is right there, and Fast Win and Bet Dice and everything. So click there and give Cheney a little bit of love on the referral.
Yeah, if you want to, that's fine. You're not stuck with that. I appreciate that though.
So another way that I find some of these is I go over to eostoolkit.io, which you can link up with Scatter, and then they will list
ones you can stake. That's right.
A few of these that you can stake, like Karma, Horace Pay, and then they also have. I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast. But they also have, they list several air grabs. So an air grab is kind of like an airdrop, but instead of requiring the dApp to provide the RAM, this is basically a way to make it cheaper on the dApp.
That's right.
You, as the user, will provide the RAM. So you basically log in with Scatter on eostoolkit.io, and then you can air grab right there and get tokens.
Now, I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but I'm also a custodian on Airdrop Stack, and EOS Toolkit is performed by Dinarios, which is Nathan. Nathan is on Airdrop Stack as well, and so you're right. It's still, even with the cheap price of EOS, it's still costly for an airdrop to go out and pay for RAM to be dropped now to, I forget, we're over 300,000 EOS accounts now, so it depends on what the airdrop wants to do. But we now have the ability, you can do the air grabs, but you're trusting everybody to just go out and grab that token. They have to go in there, they have to click, and there's what people call friction there. But what they've also created is what they call, basically it allows for the tokens to be airdropped. And it's a token contract that if the person doesn't use those tokens within, let's say, 3 months, those tokens can be then reclaimed because that person hasn't written the tokens into their RAM, right? If you don't own the RAM on those airdrops, then you technically wouldn't own the token in this case. So if that person doesn't move, sell, interact, claim, grab, do any function with those tokens, then the RAM can be recovered, and it's essentially more like a RAM lease than a RAM payment. Mm-hmm. And
so has anybody done this yet? Like, are there any drops in my account that I need to go and?
Yeah, sure probably so. ZKS, the it was kind of a proof of concept token that lets you get CPU.
Okay.
So if you go to your account, you should still have a 31 ZKS tokens in there, and all you have to do is either use one of those tokens, send it to an alt account. You can sell them. You can do whatever you want to with them. At that point, they're yours. Well, if you sell them, they're not yours. But you get the idea. Anything that interacts or uses or writes to that token contract address writes that RAM into your account at that point. And so Airdrop Stack is now open for business and looking to help with token economics, with helping dApps pay for the RAM resources to airdrop their tokens to their users, identify who their users are. Do they want to airdrop to exchanges? Do they want to airdrop to, probably not. Do they want to airdrop to everybody that has an account? Do they want to say everybody that has 5 EOS? What are their thresholds? Are they looking for people that are doing X, Y, and Z with their EOS accounts? You know, what is their target audience? And then help them review the tokenomics that they're looking for. And there's also a little bit of incubator there as well. It's tied in with the Airdrop Stack, that there's an incubator that can help some projects really get off the ground. So it's a kind of a cool stop shop for helping projects kind of run through the different models of airdropping.
That's really cool. And you said you're a custodian for them. What does that
mean? Yeah. Go to airdropstack.com. Basically, I'm an ambassador, making sure that people are aware of it, know a little bit about it, help answer any questions that they may have. We're really just getting off the ground. Honestly, with the low cost of RAM and the low bear market we're in, we probably won't see a whole lot of demand, but especially when the U.S. price gets back up in double digits and the cost of RAM goes back up, and people start distributing their tokens again, we'll see a little bit of uptick. You can go to airdropstack.com and check it out. So lots of fun things going on. I just wish the price was fun right now.
Yeah. That'd be nice. But, you know, they say this is when we focus on building, and I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of...
Hey, you know, that's exactly right. You know, I keep expecting good things. We keep seeing Galaxy Digital come out with their different VC funds, and the latest one. What was the name of the gaming dApp, the gaming platform that? And the $20 million. No, not them. There's another one. It was a combination of Activision employees and anyway, it's another gaming platform that we saw got $20 million of VC funds. I'm excited to see what they come out with. And there were a couple other, you know, I'm a gamer. I like to play games, even though I'm old school. We're seeing some other. There was a role playing game that they recently had posted on. I'm gonna get this wrong. It's not Blue Oasis, but posted on. I saw it on Twitter here recently. It's gonna come to EOS, and it looked pretty cool. I can't wait for that to show up. Mythical Games.
Mythical Games
was was the one done, and it's not. You're thinking about High Fidelity,
right?
So that's good. We did see some negative. I saw that FinLab had given out some funds to. They gave it $1 million of the VC funds, or were giving out to Veon Protocol, and I think Veon backed out because they decided in this market they couldn't make it. They weren't getting any traction on their token still, so I think that one died. But I think good things are here. I'm getting contacted all the time by dApps that want to interact with CP Emergency, so I know things are getting built on EOS and they're coming out left and right. So I, even though we have a low token price. Like you said, it's time to build. And I think that's still going forward. And low token price is bad for investors. But it's great for people that are developing, thinking, getting at a relatively cheaper price.
Yeah, and that's really what builds the real value in the whole ecosystem, is if we have apps that people are using and people want, and we're having, you know, valuable things built beyond just speculation, right? Yeah. So that'll over time help put in a floor on the price of EOS, and then also raise that floor.
So now what we need, what we really need is the ability to onboard users in a manner that's easy for them. You know, like I said earlier, you know, great. You know, you can make a 99-cent Lynx account, but the trouble is, you start out with that Lynx account without enough CPU to do a transaction. So it's not really good for mass adoption. We need side chains. We need the whole CPU pair. We need the whole suite of services. Need the block one wallet and things of that nature to really see this thing take off. So, you know, it's been a great, actually today I think is the 6 month anniversary of the chain launch. It's been a pretty cool 6 months. We've got a lot out there to show for it, a lot more than most chains do. And that's a great sign. And I think we've got some growing pains and that we've got a long ways to go, but I think 2019 we'll see a dApp explosion out there, and it's going to be a fun time. Hopefully we'll see the users come on board to fill up those dApps user bases.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like EOS time is like I feel like it's been around like, oh man, only 6 months.
I know, trust me. I fell into this, as you well know. It was you know, just something back in end of August we were doing to help the community. And I don't feel like, I feel like I've aged, right? I feel like I'm an old man now, because I haven't slept much in the last 3 months. Been just constantly doing one thing after another, trying to help people out, answer questions, help dApps, you know, make sure everybody's up and running. So, yeah, it feels like a lot longer in some cases, but it's only been 6 months since launch. And really, we've only been using the blockchain, using the US chain very much at all in the past 3 months. When you think about it, we really didn't gear up. US Nights is really one of the first dApps that launched, and it launched in the middle of August. That was only, you know, 3.5-4 months ago.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think we should leave it there. Chaney, thank you for exploring ES with me today. Yeah.
Well, I do have a couple of things to remind people of before you let me go, JT.
Please.
Don't forget, Warbly is out there now. So if you were a token holder, I'd have to go back and look. I think it was in September 7th. If you were an EOS token holder, September 7th, you have Warbly tokens, and you need to go out and get those. Now, some people may not like to get these. They do require KYC. It is a financial dApp blockchain. They're calling it the financial district of EOS. If you don't know anything about it, you do your KYC there, because many of the dApps are going to be financial-based dApps. They're going to come onto the chain, and those dApps will require a little bit more information to be able to do what we hope that this chain will do. I'm a big fan, and I work in, you know, financial aspects of a large corporation. I think it's got some legs to it. I've already done my KYC. I've already claimed my Warbly. I had a little bit of the pre-sale. So I think enough about it that I invested a little bit more EOS to get some more. So please check that out. By the time this podcast probably comes out, Telos will be available as well. So make sure, again, if you had a Genesis account, you've also got Telos tokens. So go out, research that, figure out how to claim your Telos, how to create a Telos account, and get that done. Now, it's kind of cool. There, they do have a cap of 40,000. So if you have less than 40,000 tokens, you're actually getting kind of 2.5 to 1, because I think their max limit is 400 million tokens. So you have a larger share of the Telos network.
Yeah, so you get the same number of tokens, but it represents a larger piece of
Yeah, that's exactly right. They represent a 2.5x share of what you own on EOS at the time. cool thing about them is they're at different governance models. They're different, doing some different things with the BPs, the way they're rotating their BPs in and out. One of the big things that will help the chain take off, I think, is that they are providing all the DAP resources for the first year. So any DAP can come on. They won't have to worry about RAM. They won't have to worry about CPU. Those resources will be provided. So you think about it. You take it the next step. If they implement CPU payer and the DAPs can pay, get free CPU and pay for the CPU for their users, Telos may get overwhelmed. I'm not so sure, but they may have bitten off more than they can chew. We'll see how they deal with this going forward. But I think you could see some DAPs gear up pretty quickly, a port over potentially, or we're going to launch on EOS, launch on Telos, and take off here pretty quickly. So make sure you check that out.
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't know they were providing all that up front, mm-hmm. So it's going to be a big boon, I think, to the developers. With Warbly, I'm pretty sure that if you don't claim your tokens within, I think it was 6 months or a year, that you will lose out on them.
That's right. They're not there permanently. You have to claim them. If you don't claim them, they go back into an advertising fund, I think, or some sort of fund that they're going to use for the betterment of the chain. So go get them. They're if you want to do KYC, go get them. You know, a lot of people don't like having their information shared. That's fine. You don't have to do it. Don't mess up. I think there's going to be the ability to do multiple chains. Multiple accounts that are going to be ported over to your KYC account. But make sure if you do have multiple accounts, you grab your largest one first. I did not. Hopefully they'll let us do multiple KYC, multiple accounts and attach them to your main Warbly account because, make sure you get your big account. I did not. I ported over one of my, I thought we could do multiple accounts. I linked to my Warbly account, a smaller alternate account that I have. And yeah, didn't get all my Warbly that I was hoping to get. So I think they'll change that going forward. Just haven't done so yet.
Cool. Do you know with Telos if they are if there's a deadline to claim your tokens there?
I don't think there is a deadline there. But you know, if you don't get in early and keep an eye on what's going on in the network and be a part of the community, then you're not up to speed. So I would say get yours and watch for any dApps that come up and decide if you think that it is gonna succeed or not. Find out how some of the first sister chains to EOS that are really out there are doing. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't know if there's a cutoff. I don't think there is on that one.
Well, I think with either of those, you know, if you claim your tokens and then you vote with them, mm-hmm. Then they're not gonna go away. So at least
no, they'll be yours. That's right. You know, speaking of that, you know, we haven't talked about referendum. We should see referendum come hopefully soon. You know, we talked about Rex briefly. One of the things we didn't talk about was taking some of the 4%. Not 4% inflation. We could work a proposal. Never mind. I'm thinking about the naming rights and the RAM fees, mm-hmm. And eventually the proposal we think will be coming down the line is to take those fees and put those into the RECs and distribute those to RECs people that are staking CPU to RECs. But we can't do that without referendum. We can't make any of these changes without referendum. So hopefully we'll see referendum come down the pike and we can make some of these changes to the governance. And you know, I'm always thinking about passive income, but I know that you're involved and active on other forms of governance and you're looking at ECAF and other things too. But hopefully we'll see referendum come in January or February and be able to make some changes.
Yeah, definitely. I think that'll be helpful with how everything was launched with governance. You know, we kind of have this constitution and ECAF and there isn't really a consensus on, do we keep this? Is this really what we want? It's kind of a small group of people who came up with the constitution and who make up ECAF. So more and more block producers have been coming out lately talking about, you know, we should get rid of UCAF, and different proposals on governance, on a replacement constitution. And so it'll be interesting. I think we'll use a referendum to vote on those things. And then, basically we'll see what happens.
That's right. Cool. I look forward to having some debate and seeing some debate that can actually have consequences, because we're actually voting on it and seeing people are going out and lobbying, if you will, for what they think is best, other than just us talking back and forth on Telegram and Reddit and things of that nature, saying this is what's best for us. Who knows? You know, Telos or Warbly may have that up and running before we do on EOS. So we can see some of those different mechanisms in place and see how some sister chains are doing in that regards. So the whole ecosystem's coming together. It's I say slowly coming together. Like I said earlier, it's only been 6 months, but it's coming together.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to be impatient. I certainly am. You know, as EOS enthusiasts, we kind of understand the vision and the possibility. And when it's not completely there, I get pretty impatient, but it's still exciting nonetheless. And Jenny, hopefully we'll have you back soon and we can talk some more about everything going on.
I like that. You know, Dan has indicated that, you know, they've got 100+ developers now, and they got that, you know, well, I say $4 billion war chest. They put $1 billion into VCs, right? So they've got a pretty big war chest there, a C-suite that's impressive. And Block One has basically said that they're going to support EOS for the next, well, at least 9.5 years. So I think we'll see a lot of good things that come out of them. Plus, we have some great block producers out there that are building on EOS and a lot of apps to see. So tell you what, let's circle back in 3 or 4 months, and hopefully we can talk about how this was the low point of the. I'm calling the bottom here, JP.
Yeah.
This was the low point right here, and we're gonna just be going forward. I know that's gonna come back and bite me in the butt. But
well, you're right. I just bought a bunch more EOS. So
nice. It's all rainbows and roses from here on out, man. If you bought the bottom, well, never mind. If you bought, I'm calling the bottom. Let's do it.
Nice. All right, Cheney. Well, thank you for joining me exploring EOS today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. That's it for today's episode. Please take a moment to leave us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And let me know what other guests you'd like in the future. Of course, Cheney will be back, but I'm always open to recommendations. And
I'll send you some too. Hey, if anybody wants to find me, they can come to Telegram. CPU911 is our Telegram channel. My handle's at River King Fisher there and on Reddit. And on Twitter at @Moore_Cheney.
Very good. Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.